The Holy Gospel is written in the 6th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with the 30th verse. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then, because so many were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And so they went away by themselves into a boat, into a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized him and ran on foot from all the towns ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats, wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages, towns, and countryside, they placed their sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to even just touch the edge of his garment, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Have you ever had to go somewhere and didn't have directions, a map, or your Google map didn't get you to the right place? Showed you a road, it wasn't there? Times in life, I think that's the way it was looking at believers at the time in the Old Testament, under the prophets and under the religious leaders. And then we see at the time of the disciples, people seem to look for direction. And the leaders at the time were not providing that. And that still happens today. When you travel, hopefully when you're here, you hear the gospel and you hear the word of God, and it directs the path of your life. But you should be knowing how to get that direction as a follower of Christ. What should you be doing? What should you be occupying your time with? And do you have that direction? So when you self-evaluate over the years, I would hope that this year you see your spiritual growth a little further, a little closer to heaven than what it was last year. Your closeness to God and how that you're living. There are others that you're around that will watch you, and they'll find what are you following Christ? Are you following the way of the world? Are you living differently? Or do you just the same and fill in and kind of fill in the space? What is guiding and directing at the time? Now, as a shepherd, as a pastor, we're held at a higher count. It's our job to make sure that you hear the word of God. As the disciples were growing, they would find out their responsibility was to proclaim the good news and rely on God. Now, what did we find out last time? They were told to what? Pack up their suitcases, get everything they had, get that money? No, they were told what? Get ready to go out. You're going to go out in twos. We said the reason we did that, custom was, with two, it's a witness that whatever you're doing, saying, is true. We said we should practice that today in our business lives, personal lives. When we're around things, we deal with people in twos. It's a good practice. So now, as the disciples got to the point, they were told, take very little. Don't even take an extra shirt. Go out to proclaim the gospel, and as you go out, if somebody invites you into their town, stay with them, and stay until your trip is done. However, if people didn't accept you in their area, what were they supposed to do? Shake the dust off of their feet and move on. And that was a symbol that judgment would be coming. If you don't accept the word of God, we're not going to force you. But you have made judgment come upon yourself for not accepting what God has provided. And that's still true today. We ask that you don't get your Bible and throw it down somebody's throat, right? It's not going to make a difference. Scripture tells us that if we do it in the wrong manner, then it's like sounding brass. It makes a lot of noise, but it doesn't change a life. It needs to get to the point in a Christian's life, their longing, their desire to know the Lord in a more personal way and have a closer relationship. A lot of times, our motivation sometimes becomes of our need. The need of the people in the Old Testament, they were needing guidance and direction. The people that we were talking about today in Mark were looking for what? Healing. They had a lot of people that were sick and lame or demon-possessed, and they knew about Jesus, and they wanted to get restoration and cured. It's interesting because the disciples have been doing what Jesus had told them. They've been going out by two, sharing the gospel, having healing. We saw that even Herod, remember last week, heard about this man, Jesus. And he was scared it was the resurrected John the Baptist, remember? So he had heard what was going on. Disciples come to Jesus and they're exhausted. Have you ever been tired? Have you ever got to the point you went home, turned on the TV or music, and you sat down and you fell asleep? I fell asleep one time and it got to the point when I woke up, somebody called me and I said, "What are you calling me so early in the morning for?" It was still the same day. I had taken a nap and I had lost track of my day or time. Kind of like yesterday when I came out here, go ahead, be a week early for the event, right? There's times we can get exhausted. And you can get exhausted also doing the Lord's work. Not just physical work, but even doing the Lord's work. You can get exhausted. And it's interesting because God has taught us that even when he created, not that he got tired, but he made one day the day of rest. Later we find even in the Old Testament and through Scripture that even our crops were to have a season of rest. You know, we have a lot of chemicals for pesticides and for growth. But the pattern that's in the Bible is give the field a chance to rest. You can study the year of Jubilee and those kind of things, and you can see what God had designed. But God had also designed you and me that we might need some rest. Vacation, I used to take an extra day or two to come home and rest from my vacation. You ever vacation? It ever made you busy and tired? There is a time where you need rest. And there are times where we get so busy we miss that opportunity to rejuvenate and restore even our soul. But as a believer, you should have a pattern of your life and direction that you know or have been told what you ought to be doing and the path that you should be going. Are you aware of that? So that's what I want to look at today. We know that Mark goes very quick. Mark goes and there's one word he says most of the time, I think around 40 times in his scripture, immediately, remember? And then he goes through the life of Christ, showing you that he was the Messiah, and then going to the cross. But how do we make sure that we have that direction that we need? I broke it down into a few parts that should be occupying our time. So the first one is we should be occupying our time with worship. You agree? Worship? What is worship? Many times when we spend communion with God in prayer and supplication, we usually tell him what we want, right? I want healing, I need strength, need a promotion, I need money to pay the bills, I need my kids to go on the straight and narrow way. We're going to look at it a little differently. The first is going to be worship. John 4:24 says, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, in the aging process, I found that when people suffer through things like Alzheimer's, the last two things to go in the mind were the scriptures and music. Isn't that neat? That God, the God of grace, the God of mercy, still can minister with someone who might not remember people's names, may not remember family members, but he worships through the power of scripture and music. And there's been a lot of studies on that. So God's looking for you to worship him. Psalm 95:6, O come, let us worship, bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Now, I know as we get older, our knees hurt. But one of the things when we come up here and we share our love of God and the love that he has given us, many of us do what? We bow down. Now, if we can't do that, it's okay, because we're bowing what? Our hearts. The idea is that in your worship, it's more about him than it is you. There is a time in our prayer life to let our requests be known to him. But in worship, it's all about him. How do I worship? Who is God to you? Is he the almighty creator? Recognize him for who he is. Is he the King of Kings? Is he Lord of all? Is he your loving, passionate Savior? And those are things that are worship. You focus on the person of Christ. You focus on the Almighty God and how that he is above and beyond any other God that man makes. He is the Almighty. And that becomes your center and focus of worship. Now, hopefully you've heard that in your time as a believer and a Christian and as a believer in the church here. That by God's grace and mercy, we can communicate, but we let him know, we recognize him for who he is. Holy, holy, holy. The Almighty God. Isaiah 25:1 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. That's worship. Psalm 156, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Instead of want, praise. God said in the Bible that if man, his own creation, didn't praise him, what would happen? Even the rocks in the ground would praise him. In your worship on a Sunday, a worship on your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and even Saturday, are you spending time praising God for who he is? That's true worship. And as a believer in Christ, you ought to be showing worship. Through him, in Hebrews 13:15, through him let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That's the fruit of our lips, and we acknowledge his name. Then there's another part of our life and our direction, and some of you, well, all of you today are following it. You know what it is? To fellowship one with another. You have gifts that God has given you. Remember, we looked at Galatians chapter 5, and we looked at the different gifts that we have as believers, and not of us have all of them, but together we have them and we can share. Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves, the apostles, to teaching and fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayers. What should our direction as a church, as a body of Christ, be doing? We should be doing those things. We should be hearing the Word of God. That's part of the teaching, the explaining, the Bible studies that are done. Sharing scriptures we're doing this morning. That's the teaching. It's your time in your devotion life at home. Are you opening your Bible? Are you spending time with a devotional? We even give some help outs. I think even over in the lobby area that you can pick up little books that have scripture and thoughts to give you a time of daily devotion. The other part was fellowship. We pray for those who cannot come because of health or whatever, cannot come back in fellowship. That's why we reach out. That's why we send the cards. That's why we try to encourage them to come back. You today are doing that today that you might, as you are here, have an opportunity to share with someone else. A discussion, an encouraged word, shaking of a hand, a hug, whatever it might be. Showing your love for one another in fellowship. The breaking of bread. Do you know what that is? That's communion. That's our time as we come up and we take of the bread and of the wine. Remember those that were on the road with Jesus at Emmaus, and they didn't know who he was after his resurrection. But then when they broke bread together, what did they realize? This is Jesus. You should see Jesus as you come to take the bread and the wine. You should be relinquishing yourself and your sin and coming before God, and in that praise of who he is and that he gave his life that we might have this special relationship. When you bow down as part of that worship and show and express your love, we are having fellowship with him. And then, prayers. Churches used to have on Wednesdays and Thursdays, they used to have what? Used to call them prayer meetings. Folks, prayer is so important in your Christian life. And many will tell, if you said you want to pray out loud, you, oh no, not me. But what if you're praying? Are you praying silently sometimes? Prayer is simple conversation with God. as you are, come to Him. Share what's on your heart. Start off with worship by exalting His name and praising Him. And then as you pray, pray that He will continue and you might see His guidance in your life. And then guidance in others' lives. And then open doors for you for ministry and opportunity. And that's the next thing, is to be a disciple. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 said, go therefore and do what? Make disciples. John 8, 31, 32, so Jesus said to the Jews who believe Him, if you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 13, 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you, and by all people will know that you are My disciples if you do what? Love one another. Thing we have, God gives us a job. Don't get the pink slip. Always employed for it. And He has a specific ministry for you. That direction of your life is to minister to the world. Ephesians 4, 11 and 13. And He gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints to the work of what? Ministry. To build up the body of Christ until we all return to unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to measure the stature, the fullness of Christ. Romans 10, 13, 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And how will they call on the Lord whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching the gospel? And how are they to preach unless they were sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. The direction and ministry of your life, through your life and example, is to preach the good news. Did you do that this week? Was that part of your plan for the week? And believe me, sometimes you don't have to say a word, do you? It's the way you live. It's the way you show kindness to each other. We have that evangelism that we are to do. Matthew 6, 15, go to the world and proclaim the gospel. Who do you proclaim it to? His whole creation. 1 Peter 3, 15, but in your hearts, honor Christ. The Lord is holy. Always be prepared to make defense for anyone for the season and the hope that's in you. Yet do it with what? Gentleness and respect. Those are the foundational scriptures. There's more. Give you that direction of what your life should be like. What is the purpose after I'm saved? To worship, to spend time with God, and then share what God has done for you. How many are excited what God's done for them? Are you excited? Are you glad that God forgave you for your sin? I'm not going to ask you what the sin was, but are you glad there's forgiveness? There was forgiveness for your past. There's forgiveness for you now. And even if you mess up, guess what? There's forgiveness. Are you happy that the Almighty God provided His Son for you that you might have eternal life? That there is a blessing and a hope beyond this world can give. That departing from this world, absent from the body, and we will be with Him. Are you excited about that? If you want to be a real estate agent, go to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and that'll tell you what your home's going to be like. If we believe these things, these will give us direction, and we won't be sheep that's scattered and not knowing where to go. Stay in tune. Stay in your path and walk with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You not only supply the way, You supply the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. And You love us so much. Help us love You more and keep our direction and our feet pressing on. In Jesus' name, amen.